Doss, unfortunately, as old as he is, has succumbed to the coronavirus, and he's going to be in quarantine for quite some time, so it is my dulcet tones that you will be listening to for the foreseeable future. But in this time of uncertainty, we don't know if football's going ahead or if it's under 17 rounds or whatever, but we do know it is 17 rounds. How that's actually going to look, we still don't know. The AFL's still making their decisions. But we're going to talk all things coronavirus and how it's actually impacted our drafts, what we could have done differently, what's going to happen if there's makeup games where it might be two or three games within the space of a couple of weeks, and just maybe have a look if that's changed any of our thought process in if we went to our drafts, as most of us would have drafted by now. So would we have had some hindsight thoughts? And joining us, as always, off the back of our home league draft, I'm surprised he's still here after the effort he put in, is Stevie Fears. Welcome.
Yeah, g'day, John. G'day, listeners. And depending on your perspective of things, I've either lowered my colours or just brought a new level to the draft. It was yet another solid display of drunkenness by me. The list went out the door after about, was it around 16 or 17? Just threw them away.
Something like that.
The abuse started. It was good times for all.
Yeah, the banter went up many levels over the course of beers. It was quite interesting. It was good. It was very good. And he is in the hottest place on earth at the moment. Probably the safest place because coronavirus does not live in the heat. And that is Cam McLaughlin. Welcome.
Yeah, thanks. And actually, just to put that in the poo-poo bin, we have a higher rate of coronavirus than you, Shlomo's, down in Victoria. We're winning coronavirus. We have more.
Yeah, it's because you've got lots more old people up there, I would imagine.
Well, that's probably fair as well.
Yeah. Hey, look, we are going all year round. I don't know how we're going to go all year round if there is no football. It could be like Cam, your idea. We just simulate the evolution, the AFL Evolution 2 season, and we just make up our own footy stats and go from there. Maybe Champion Data can help us out with that. Who knows? But it is a time of uncertainty.
Well, they make so up we're just the super coach every bloody week, so they may as well just fucking throw shit against the wall.
So, yeah, we're just going to go through and just have a discussion, just what's happened with the coronavirus and what the landscape might look like on our drafts and maybe some hindsight of our draft. And I just want to ask you guys what the impact on our players that we've drafted with no crowds in the stands cheering on those players who might be the nervous Nelly type in front of goal, or are they going to be a bit more calm and settled? Because we know someone like Jason Castagna, he's a shithack in front of goal. He might actually be the Coleman medalist this year.
I pay that no attention. That is just, that's banter for the people on Twitter. That's all that is.
Yeah. But
would you think, you know, your team's 5 goals behind, you start to get a couple of goals as a roll on, that crowd impact actually helps you play better, and then there's more fantasy points for your players on board, whereas it might be just a bit of meh, who knows?
I think it's probably a bit of meh. The thing that I'm more excited about is, you know, with a quiet stadium and good mics comes actually hearing sledging. I think we're going to hear a lot of sledging through the TV, and I think it's going to be awesome.
That's going to be interesting, yeah. I just think there's going to be some players who might actually rise up to the challenge where they're not, you know, say we go back 3 to 5 years, Travis Cloak, if he's not getting booed every single time, he could actually be a pretty good pick this year. So
I'll put it this way. I think that to me, it's exactly the same as someone's in a contract year, or they'll play better because they're in a contract year, or they'll play. Like, there's nothing to say one way or the other.
Yeah, I think we'll have to wait till Thursday night and see how it actually play out if Richmond and Carlton kick us off for the first game. Now that we know coronavirus is running one and we've had our drafts, in hindsight, would we have gone into the draft differently if we'd known, you know, we've got a 17-game season and there might be some actually make-up games? I mean, injured players, for instance, like your Dyson Heppels, that Ollie Wines, that, do you just absolutely punt them down to your round 18, 19, 20, whereas you might have taken them as a bit of a flyer in that 13-14 round, maybe a few rounds early? Or what sort of structure would you have gone in with?
I think it like really depends on where they're going to push, or they're either going to bring the finals in, or they're planning on a couple of breaks throughout the year and they're kind of giving themselves a bit of space. And if it's more that, I don't think it necessarily changes your injured goons that much. But if it's actually bringing in the finals and it's going to be 17 consecutive games, then yeah, probably it slides them right down the draft order. But like for me, I actually now look differently at people like Gary Ablett and Cade Simpson, who were potentially going to be rested throughout the year. And they've already said they weren't going to play the full year. All of a sudden, there's only 17 games. Does that push them up the draft order? Probably would. I'd consider Gary Ablett now. I think he could be really good value.
And that's the thing, just looking at some of these players, like the old boys who might have been rested, that, yeah, they would go up your draft boards. And something I would be looking at as well. But what about if you go to your drafts, would you look at maybe drafting players from teams that you know will think will play finals, like your West Coast, your Richmonds, your Geelong types? Like, try and stack your team more with those players and forget about, say, your Gold Coast and maybe Fremantle players?
I don't think it matters that much, to be honest.
You think scoring's going to score? Scorers are going to score?
Yeah, I think it's more like when we talk about what they're going to do in regards to if they're going to play multiple games in a week or something like that. That's when I think you're going to find the big differential between good and bad teams, because you'll have, I guess, your top four, the teams that are probably destined for finals, right, aren't going to want to risk their star players over, three games in a week, whereas the teams that are probably bottom four are going to try and exploit that by playing all of their guns as much as possible to win as many of those games as possible while the others are essentially taking a rest. I think that's maybe the only time it comes into play, the good team versus bad team.
I think also there's talk of just flat 20-minute quarters as well. So your points per minute beast, they're the ones you'd be looking to draft as well, instead of the guys who have a score build, say, through tackles or just kicks, that sort of thing as well. So that's something you could have looked at as well, I guess.
Yeah, I think the things you're saying are really interesting. Look, we're recording this on Monday. Obviously, the AFL is going to make their decision on round one and that. Well, this comes out on Wednesday, so it's happened on Tuesday. I think and I always bang on about range of outcomes, but your drafts have already happened. There's a range of outcomes that were on the table. Like, were they going to push games back, say, 2 months, like the Sandfall and VFL and have done? Or were they going to try cram some matches in at the start of the season, say 5 games in 3 weeks, and then take a couple months off? Or were they just going to play every week in front of empty stadiums? So all those things were on the table. And as always, a balanced approach, I think, was the correct one. Just like in our draft, Jono, I took Taranto in round 20. Now, I didn't really want him, but if they're going to push the season back 2 months, all of a sudden he only misses a couple of games, and I'm feeling really good about life. The other thing is, maybe they play all these games early, and he only has, availability of 5 games, and it was a shit pick. But, it's not like not like going in and going, okay, I'm going to grab Wines, Heppel, Duncan, Taranto, Blake Aker. Like, I'm not going to stack my team with that. I think it's just, being, and that's what we do. Like, try to, you don't want all these risk reward scenarios, because the likelihood of the risk hitting increases.
Yeah, absolutely. And, if there is going to be multiple games in a short period of time, who do you think that affects most? I think, would it be your gun players, or is it going to be the coaches giving an opportunity to those fringe-type players where they've been on the periphery, the guns are tied, they've played 2 games in 2 weeks sort of thing, or a week, maybe sit that third one out where it's going to affect your team?
I was thinking about this, and I actually, could it just affect the rucks really badly?
Think about that. I thought about that, and I'm like, well, the rucks are going to be the one most affected because they're doing the most work. I mean, you... key forwards, they're staying at home. Your key defenders, staying at home. your guns are your guns. I think they might have, well, there's talk of more rotations, more bench players. So they're going to be playing, but they might just have less time on ground for maybe that week or something like that. Who knows?
Yeah, but I'd be cagey about some of these rucks. That's all. I don't know. I'm, you know, obviously not a player. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Well, we actually discussed this a little bit. Like, Nick Natanui is 50% game time. How, you know, does he play 2 50% and then just play a 20%, or do they just run with Hickey and whoever the other guy is for a week?
I wouldn't want Sam Jacobs, I know that much.
Big bummy coming
and
rolling.
Well, look, in the Essendon guys, they can play. They're pretty much the same sort of guy. You know, does Max Gawn get a break more and they roll with Bruce or Jackson or this sort of thing? Like, we don't know. That's the fact.
No. And that's the thing here. First round is going to be the telling tale of what happens and what the AFL do decide.
Yeah. Sorry, Jono. I think that, like, the whole deal in regards to we may play games three games a week, I think that's when they've called off the front end of the season. I don't think they're going to do that for any other reason. So if it's delayed by a month or 2 months, they're going to try and squeeze as much football in at the end of the season as possible. There's no reason to think that if they don't, that if it's not delayed too long, that they would actually even do that. You know what I mean? I don't see a reason for it.
Oh, I think they go the other way and get it out they front end it, because people might seem to forget, and Steve hates cricket, but they've got the Men's 2020 World Cup coming up in October. There's going to be a lot of grounds unavailable, and I'm pretty sure a West Coast is not want to come over here and play home games at Marvel Stadium, which the AFL own, or, you know, some backwater ground where a bit of uneven ground and Luke Shuey can break a leg or something like that. Like, I think they want to get as many games in before this sort of thing happens. And then, okay, it's going to be shit if they do shut it down for a month or two, because, you know, players lose that edge. They lose maybe a little bit of fitness because they're sitting around doing nothing. But, yeah, I think it really is just a wait and see right now as to how the AFL is going to play. But I think they're going to front end a lot of games.
Yeah, right. Okay.
What are your thoughts on that, Steve?
I wouldn't be surprised if they just put it off 2 months. Like, we've seen the state leagues do it. Yeah. I know they want to get rolling. I personally took a little bit of that. They're going to just delay it. Would it shock me if they played round one and then delayed 2 months? No.
No.
Yeah.
And it's actually interesting how the NRL is still proceeding with round two behind closed stadium.
They just don't have a choice, though. Like, the AFL have a cash, like, a kitty built up.
Mm.
NRL, they will go bankrupt if they don't actually play games. But like, it's dire for them.
But there's no one in the crowd, though. So
it doesn't matter, because it's all the broadcasting rights where they're getting the money from anyway. So
okay.
Yeah, so and while the clubs lose out on gate attendance, it's the league that loses out on broadcast
on the monies.
Yeah. So I think AFL apparently has a kitty, can survive the full year without actually playing a game. NRL dead in the water in about a month and a half, 2 months.
Yeah. Interesting. It is interesting. And it's something that it just came to me before we came on air there, but and it'd be unfair in terms of your super coach and AFL fantasy players, but in the Big Bash League, they sometimes have two rounds in one. So players will play twice in a round. So you could have someone like Brody Grundy play twice, and he's your captain for 2 weeks in a row, but then doesn't play maybe, say, round 14. Collingwood don't play round 14, and you miss out on points there. So I don't know how AFL fantasy guys or the Supercoach Wizards can actually maybe code that pretty quickly in that time. But it is actually an interesting concept that perhaps could happen as well. I don't know.
Yeah, and I mean, they do it in Fantasy Premier League as well, where you basically have, because of all the other competitions they play throughout the year, teams have buys and they're sort of randomly scheduled. And then so they'll miss 1 week, but then play two games the next week. And you always captain someone in your double game week. But in this, I feel like it's such a differentiator that it would blow the whole thing apart, right? Like, you get two Grundys and then they're captained as well. And so you've put in 600 from Grundy in 1 week. You know, it's just bizarre.
It'd be awesome.
It would be awesome. I can see it working if they just maybe take off captains. Like, captains aren't a thing, and then everyone's got the same chance of, you know, missing 1 week and getting a double game week another week. You know, I think that makes it a bit more fair.
Well, I suppose that'll tie into bye rounds. They're surely not going to have the bye rounds now.
No.
There's five games out, so... And if they do have another 2 months off, they can't have the bye rounds, so... you know, load up on all the players that you really like in a team there, so... Interesting times.
Does anyone think that the AFL is just using this as a way to get all of the ideas tested that they've wanted to test about changing the game for the last, like... 2 to 3 years.
What, the 17? Hey, boy, we got really lucky with this coronavirus.
We got super lucky, and we are going to test everything.
I mean, it's time.
But that's
to
the
do
thing.
It.
I, you know, 17 game season. They, you know, I don't mind it.
At
you
this know, point, they're just like, 20-minute quarters.
Yeah.
Infinite changes.
Not grand final.
You know. Yeah. Yeah, it's coming. You heard it here first.
Well,
the
grand final could be in December. Go, oh, look, it'll be too hot for the players. We have to play it at night.
Oh, geez, wasn't that good, that night grand final?
Katy Perry really shone that night.
I think it probably affects the salary cap system more than the draft system. If they did this multiple game thing, you'd have to think that it'd sort of even itself out. But it... And again, I think this is where the person who has the ability to adapt with the game will benefit, or, you know, take risks. Maybe go, okay, I'm putting my chips in on this this happening. Or you know what I mean? Like rucks being bad, or rucks getting a boost, or forwards go all key position because they're never going to come off the ground, you know, especially in your Supercoach. That sort of mentality could... you know, I mean, look, it could go either way, but when you're playing a draft league, you're looking for the outlier situations, you're looking for upside, so, you know, it could just be a way to get ahead of your league.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Have you guys got any other thoughts on this whole coronavirus schmozzle that's going on and what you might have done differently if we did have a heads up that it was going to be 17 games bang straight off the bat?
That's an interesting thought. No, I wouldn't have done anything differently.
So there's 17 games, no buys. Would you say stacked up on more West Coast players knowing they... Say they have like a 9-8 advantage at home. They've got that extra game at the sleeves where you know...
No, that's sort of like... hypothetical. Sort of like the... they get to play Gold Coast twice sort of thing, you know.
I think one thing maybe... and look, we did it anyway because we drafted, may as well have been last millennium at this point. But maybe a different league structure would have helped out. So like a deeper bench to cover for those weeks where if they do have multiple people missing in a game week, you're not just completely thrown under the bus.
So what team structure was your league?
So we did 5-1-7-5-8.
Okay, so it's still a pretty deep bench.
But, for us it's like we lucked into it because normally we'd do four. But, you know, maybe if I'd known beforehand we would have expanded anyway. Maybe even bigger, smaller on field, I don't know.
Smaller on field, bigger bench, and maybe better players still left in the pool.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, well, it's going to be really interesting for those smaller leagues where some of those guns, you know, say Melbourne, for instance, get a really good run on. You'd just be grabbing all those Melbourne players where some in a league where, you know, Steve's been holding him, Jack Viney, you know, absolutely braining it the first part of the year and just get him into your team and help your team out.
Well, imagine like, so a team misses a week and so they're scheduled to play two the week after. In a 3-1-4-3 league, you're pretty much cooked for the week. Like, that's a massive differential already, right?
For sure.
Yeah, that's right. So yeah, the deeper leagues will have a better.
I find it hard to believe that that had happened. Really,
I just don't know.
Imagine
because like, especially
play
if they're going to play
three matches in a week.
It's like 3 in 2 weeks. So, like, you know, when we've had the odd day for Anzac Day, it's like Collingwood play twice in 4 days or whatever it is. I think it's going to be something similar to that. Or it's going to be 3 5-day or 6-day breaks in between, something like that.
Yeah. Okay.
I reckon the most extreme you'd see is like one team plays twice and someone plays once. But I find it really hard to believe because then you're talking about the competition being so out of whack in terms of rest days. Like, you know, my team versus your team sort of thing, like Carlton versus Essendon, whoever.
Yeah. Yeah. Certainly going to be interesting times ahead. Have you guys got any other thoughts on this whole thing and the impact of our teams and maybe people's drafts if they haven't drafted yet?
Well, I think it's everyone's in the same boat, right? So you just definitely have to prepare as well as you can. It's a simple thing. This balance is good. Yes, take a risk here on an injured player if you want, but... You know, it's probably a fucking great time to... It's funny, isn't it? Because people will go, yeah, it's a great time to rebuild my keeper team. And it probably is. It's probably a fucking great time to go for the W.
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. Round one's coming up. Did you want to talk maybe some matchups, perhaps, that we might see coming forward? Or what are our thoughts on round one coming up? This week, we've got Richmond and Carlton kicking off the season. Anyone we're keen to see and how they might go, like Jack Martin against Richmond, how they play him. Or we've got the Bulldogs, Collingwood. Hey, Pendlebury hasn't even been cleared of coronavirus yet, so he might not line up. And Collingwood's missing Taylor Adams as well, so they're going to be pretty thin on the midfield depth there.
I think he's back. Tay-Tay is confirmed starter.
Oh, okay. There you go.
Yeah, announced today. He's good.
This is coming out Wednesday, boys. Well, let me remind you, the pod drops on a Wednesday. There will be more information.
Certainly will be.
I want to see Doherty. That's the one I'm keen to see. And how that backline functions for Carlton.
Yeah, absolutely. Did they play all together in JLT too? Like, I didn't see the second week of Marsh Series 2.
They did. I just want to see it in the season. That's all. You know. When the real pace is in the game.
I'm really pumped for those sort of mid tier defenders to get a run. So like your John Noble
Collingwood is the favourite against the Bulldogs.
Yeah. I was just watching. Yeah. Check that.
I think Bulldogs like $4.50 or something. I think at one stage.
What? No, they're $1.95. But.
Oh, look, at one stage they were $4.50.
Jesus Christ.
Wow.
I forgot to get on that one. Oops.
Holy Jesus.
It still seems like good value. I'm not a betting person, but that seems like great value.
But DFS would have a major impact on this. I know we don't play much of DFS, but it would have to have an impact of how they approach the season, you would think, wouldn't it?
I wouldn't have thought so.
I think they've got it easy. They've got it easier than everyone else because it's just whoever's playing on the day.
Mm. Fair enough. Yeah. Well, look, we don't have any questions for the show.
We have a lot of questions. We have no answers. That's the problem.
Yeah.
That is a problem. What are we going to do for the rest of the season? We've got no fucking idea. Maybe just play Die Hard on repeat on our
There'll be the best Simpsons episode pod, the best sports movie pod.
It's top fives all year round.
The best part about those shows is we can just replay them in the off season and we can actually have a week off.
I am legitimately thinking about doing a fantasy league with all the numbers on AFL Evo 2, but you'll have to do it all yourselves, but I'll put the stats out. And that's about as far as I'm going to get.
So what, you're going to sim a season or are you actually going
to... Sim every match, take down the stats and post them. And people can use it.
It's not a bad idea.
It's an idea. It's probably not a great idea either. It's a good one.
It sounds like a lot of work.
It does sound like... That's contrary to the brand.
It really is. That's why DOS left.
Yeah.
Wanted to do more work.
He did. Hashtag give DOS a job for that video, because that was freaking amazing.
Yeah, great
video. Yeah, so go check out the video DOS put up. If you search the Draft Doctors on YouTube or something, I think we pinned it. But we got the Best and Fairest pod out, where we had all the amazing fantasy guests come on from all the other shows. That one's out. If you haven't downloaded it, go check that one out. That was a banger, as the kids say.
Banger.
I don't know.
Was there any that surprised you on that, Steve?
Me. I was shocked that I went Charaberry. I just have so many shares with him. Yeah. Got him again. I have him in every fucking league. Every fucking league. And on that, actually, it was the first time I actually got Luke Ryan. Every fucking person has tweeted their team at us has got Luke Ryan in it. It's like, holy shit.
Well, you've got all your boys. You've got Luke Ryan, Brody Smith. You've got all the Western Victoria boys there in Matty Crouch, McClug Goat.
Wow.
They're all there.
I missed out on the prize.
Not bad.
Jeremy Cameron, yeah, Devin Smith, Darcy Parrish. They're all there. They're all good. There. So.
There's a lot of... Actually, I've got about six people who are on the BNF pod.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, no, you've got a pretty good team there, the old Stevie Fizz. Not too bad at all.
It's pretty weird. I really had such lukewarm feelings about this season. Like, I was on Brody Smith, but that was really an AFL fantasy. Like, there wasn't... I found this year, this preseason, tough to be, like, completely in on someone.
Hot on someone.
Like, it was like you look at the defenders, that first... Sorry, you take Lloyd out. You could have had 9, 10 guys in your first tier. So it's really hard to be, you know, caping for someone. And the mids, they were just like 10 gun mids at the top of the board. And it's like, well, I'll just get one or two of them. That's fine. It seemed hard to separate players this year for me.
Yeah.
Well, I think that actually how it played out in our draft, like it just went... mids for days, and then it wasn't until round three when the defender run started.
It was
really,
five.
Wasn't it?
It was five.
Round five.
The defenders slid. Round five, the defenders run. Slid. Rucks slid.
And forwards no one gave a shit about, so it was great.
I picked up all these forwards. Like, I'm like, fuck. I've got, like, what do you do? It's like round eight and Devin's there. I'm like, oh, fuck.
Yeah. And Kane Lambert, round 11. How? Jesus Christ. Yeah, so, I mean, it's actually good. Our league changed it up last year because Supercoach didn't format for it, but we made our own top six, and this year you can actually do it. So people actually went harder in their drafts and made sure they wanted to make the top six to play finals instead of your standard top eight, and it actually reflected in the draft this year. Like, I think just in our home league, people don't want to hear about that, but there's... probably three or four good teams, and then there's a lot of good vanilla teams, and then there's one really bad team. And Steve, you know who that is.
No, I don't.
So
who is it?
We won't mention.
Who is it?
You almost punched him out last night.
He took Laddams.
Bus.
Yeah, well, that's why you wanted to punch him out. That started it. That was the catalyst of the whole thing.
Well, you were egging me on, if I recall.
Shut up. Yeah, of course I was.
Yeah. So, the drafts have been pretty similar across the board. It's just been mid-city, and I found it really hard. It really hard to get away from the forwards, though. I've got to be honest.
Well, and that's the thing. They'll just, it's like the defenders. They just sat and sat and sat. And so you could, I suppose you'd call it value, but yeah, they just sat there and you pick them up any time you like. Like, you know, I've gotten Kane Lambert, Jack Martin in the 13th or 14th
round.
This is
everywhere. This is so, like, all leagues.
But
like,
yeah.
Three forwards, two defenders. So. Like, oh, God.
I know you didn't like that, but I went the other way. I had one forward for a long time. And
But that's how I like to play, but it just sort of didn't fall that way. It hasn't fallen that way in most leagues I've been in. And I think it's probably because I'm really strong on guys like Jack Martin and Darcy Parrish, whereas other people might not be as high. Hmm. As I am. So I've got
a
lot of Jack
Martin. A lot of people were punting forwards, though. Like, it was really consistent across most leagues that people were punting forwards. And then all that meant was you had so much value there at those rounds that you had to take them. It was kind of,
Yeah, that's right. It was just, it made it that way that you had to take them in those middle to late rounds. So. Well, I think that's just about all here we've got wrapped up. Look, we go all year round. If you haven't drafted, the mock site is still there. If you've got the draft kit, check it out as well. It's all there on the website, draftdoctors.com.au. We're on the socials, the Instagram, the Facebook, and the Twitters. Just search the Draft Doctors there. Again, it is a time of uncertainty. We don't know how things are going to play out, but we will be here in some way, shape, or form, whether it is talking about our favourite Simpsons episodes or how we can even review the 1985 season and maybe just pick our best players from that. Who the hell knows?
Brad Hardy, Brownlow.
There you go. Just pulled that year out of my ass and didn't realise that was a Brad Hardy year. Good year. But, yeah, stay with us over this time. We will be around, and thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening to the Draft Doctors Podcast. For more tips and in-depth analysis, head over to thedraftdoctors.com.au.